an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. And, says Yahweh, through his prophet Jeremiah, my people love to have it so. Yahweh then poses a very important question in Jeremiah 5:31. He says, but what will you do in the end? But what will you do in the end, said Jeremiah, whose true name, Yirmiyah, means Yah will rise. What a fitting name for a man who prophesied the destruction and the salvation of the nation of Israel. Destruction and salvation brought about by Yahweh alone. But still, the question remains, what will you do in the end? Psalm 9 and verse 19. The verse that reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah. Psalm 9 and 19 says, arise, O Yahweh, Kuma Yahweh. Do not let man prevail. Let the nations be judged in your sight. Put them in fear, O Yahweh, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Whew, that's powerful. To know that we are just men. We have no power. We have no insight. We have no truth within us. The only truth is in Yahweh and His Son and in the Word that has been given. What will you do in the end of time when Yahweh rises in fury against the wickedness of this planet Earth? What will you do in the end of time if you are a preacher and you are teaching against the will of Yahweh? What will you do in the end of time if you are interpreting the Scripture according to the teachings of mankind? What will you do in the end of time if you are making up your own traditions and forsaking the worship that the Creator of the universe has ordained, set apart, and made holy? What will you do in the end of time if you are not of the faith of Yahshua, the faith of obedience to our Heavenly Father, the Almighty Yahweh? What will you do in the end of time if you are blindly following those who teach against even one of the Ten Commandments? Now, this is not a popular message that I'm giving today. For we all know the answer to the question, what will you do in the end, given the above circumstances? Does wailing and gnashing of teeth ring a bell? How about we'll be thrown into the lake of fire? Or even depart, you who commit iniquity. The question is even more relevant today. Are we not in the end of times now? The following is a newspaper article from the Religion News Service, August 16th, 2008, Vatican City. It begins, Catholics at worship should neither sing nor pronounce the name of God as Yahweh, the Vatican has said, citing the authority of Jewish and Christian practice. The instruction came, and this is still the article, the instruction came in a June 29 letter to the Catholic bishops' conferences around the world from the Vatican's top liturgical body, the Congregation for Divine Worship and Sacraments, by an explicit directive of Pope Benedict XVI. In recent years, the practice has crept in of pronouncing the God of Israel's proper name. The letter noted, referring to the four-consonant Hebrew tetragrammaton, YHWH. Continuing, that name is commonly pronounced as Yahweh, it says, though other versions include Yahweh and Jehovah. But such pronunciation violates long-standing Jewish tradition, the Vatican reminded the bishops. As an expression of the infinite greatness and majesty of God, it says, in parentheses, the name was held to be unpronounceable. Wouldn't that be kind of strange if they said Yahweh is a name that is unpronounceable and they're pronouncing the name? I mean, so they write it in parentheses, the name. The name was held to be unpronounceable and hence was, that's what it says, replaced during the reading of sacred scripture by means of the use of an alternative name, Adonai, which means Lord, the congregation said. That practice continued with Christianity, the letter goes on, or the article goes on, that practice continued with Christianity, the letter explained, recalling the church's tradition from the beginning that the sacred tetragrammaton was never pronounced in the Christian context nor translated into any of the languages into which the Bible was translated. I don't know, didn't the Jerusalem Bible have the word Yahweh in it? Okay. Wasn't that the book that the Catholics used? Let's see. Okay. Continuing on, invoking a Vatican document from 2001, the congregation reminded bishops that the name Yahweh in Catholic worship should be replaced by the Latin Dominus, Lord, or a word equivalent in meaning in the local language. I'm not going to make a comment on that. The Vatican's move will require changes in a number of hymns and prayers currently used in American churches, but not to the Mass itself, said the U.S. Bishop's top liturgical officer. Interesting. As I was reading on the internet, I found a response to this news by an Anglican Catholic bishop who wrote, "Back in Hebrew class, alongside rabbis-to-be, I imbibed traditions of reverence surrounding the Tetragrammaton in the Hebrew scriptures. I have to admit, this gave me an abiding and instinctive personal dislike of songs with words like, Yahweh, we love you." Abiding? Instinctive? An anonymous individual wrote in response to the same news, "Just want to say I'm delighted by this pronouncement. In fact, I jumped up and down and punched the air when I read this post. My Hebrew teacher managed to get the holiness of the Tetragrammaton deep enough inside of me that I really shudder every time it is used in worship. I can't even type it. I am an Anglican and I worship in a Roman Catholic community. The community has taught me bucket loads." No comment. "Has taught me bucket loads about sanctity and sacrament. So, I find," this person's writing, "I find this messing with the divine name particularly jolting. Can't wait until it's gone. And it doesn't feel like straining at a gnat to me at all, but another move towards understanding the incomprehensible holiness of God. All I can say is, may Yahweh have mercy." It truly hurts to know how important the name is and to have people denigrating it and being glad that it's not being spoken. We have to wonder what spirit is at work here. If you would turn to the book of Jeremiah, Yirmiyah, Yah will rise, chapter 7 and verse 21. Jeremiah 7 and 21 begins, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, add your burnt offerings to your sacrifices and eat meat. For I did not speak to your fathers or command them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices." He says, "I didn't talk to you about these things." 23. "But this is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. And walk in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but followed the counsels and the dictates of their evil hearts, and went backward and not forward." Back to Egypt, back to idolatry. Verse 25, "Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt until this day, I have even sent to you all my servants the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they did not obey me or incline their ear, but stiffened their neck. They did worse than their fathers." Verse 27, "Therefore," Yahweh says to Jeremiah, "you shall speak all these words to them, but they will not obey you. You shall also call to them, but they will not answer you." Now some will say, "See, Israel has failed, and the old covenant is no longer in effect. Now we have a new covenant, and we are free from the law of Yahweh. We are no longer under the law. We have been saved, and nothing can stand in the way of our salvation." I would say to these protestants against Yahweh, it is true. Ancient Israel did fail, and the covenant in which Israel agreed to obey Yahweh was broken by Israel. Now hear me now. When they took up the ways of the nations, when they began to worship in the ways, on the days the pagan peoples worshiped their national, regional, and family deities, and when they did these things, that's when Yahweh became upset. Yahshua railed against the Pharisees for the laws they created that usurped the law of Yahweh. If you read Jeremiah 31, you will understand that the new covenant was made in order to preserve the commandments of Yahweh. But this time, the Spirit of Yahweh, that is, the law of Yahweh, will be placed in the hearts and minds of those who Yahweh calls out of Babylon, those who Yahweh calls out of Egypt, and those who Yahweh calls out of the traditions of man. That is the new covenant. Yahweh divorced the house of Israel, the northern kingdom of 10 tribes who fell into idolatry. But he will search her out and bring her back. Why? Because he is a faithful husband. He will wash her in the blood of the Lamb. And he will dress her in fine linen. And he will forgive her. It will be in a time of tribulation, and all will seem lost. But Yahweh will rise, Kuma Yahweh, to save the remnant of Israel. The same who are described in Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of Yahweh and the faith of Yahshua. Yahshua brought a new covenant from the Father. Can't you see it? He said, come, follow me. He kept his Father's law without defaming one yod, without defaming one tittle of the law. If you would turn to John 17 and verse 26. John 17 is becoming one of my, or maybe my most favorite chapter in the Scriptures. It speaks of inclusiveness. But what I want to read to you is simply the last verse in that chapter, verse 26 of John 17, which says, he's speaking in prayer to the Father, I have made your name known to them and will make it known, and hear this, so that the love with which you love me may be in them and I in them. The them are the disciples, the followers of Yahshua. Why did Yahshua teach his disciples the name of his Father? So that the same love with which Yahweh loved his Son may be present within us and within Yahshua toward us. How much love is that? It's enough love to raise us from the dead. Can you now understand the importance of the name of Yahweh? It is clearly an issue of salvation. Not just speaking the name Yahweh, but worshiping, praying to Him, calling upon and reverencing the name of Yahweh. John 3 and verse 16. We all know that one. For Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Leviticus 24 and verse 16. Leviticus 24 and verse 16 says, and whoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. And yes, there's a physical death that was meted out at this time for those who blasphemed the name of Yahweh. But in an eternal sense, I see this word death as meaning eternal death. And whoever blasphemes the name of Yahweh shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger, as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of Yahweh, he shall be put to death. What does blaspheme mean? It means to puncture, to libel, to curse, to pierce, or to strike through. Is it libelous to strike through the name of Yahweh in Scripture and insert another name that is the translation of the name of Baal? That's exactly what the name the Lord refers to. We have Scriptures in our hands here in which the name of Yahweh has been literally struck through and another name put in its place, a name that refers back to and is a translation of a pagan deity. Matthew 10 and verse 24. Speaking of those who honor Baal, or anyone who honors anyone who's higher than them. Matthew 10, verse 24. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher, and a servant like his master. Now, if they have called the master of the house Baal-zebub, how much more will they call those of his household? Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Baalzebub means Lord of the Flies, a Hebrew word picture of filth, where flies breed. And let me boldly say that using the words the Lord in place of the righteous name of Yahweh is equating our Heavenly Father with filth. And the very least, replacing his name with any other name is a violation found in a number of places, one of which is Deuteronomy 4, starting at verse 1. Deuteronomy 4 and 1 says, "Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh Elohi of your fathers is giving you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh Elohim, which I command you." Verse 3 of Deuteronomy 4. "Your eyes have seen what Yahweh did at Baal Peor, for Yahweh Elohika has destroyed from among you all the men who followed Baal of Peor. But you who held fast to Yahweh Elohim are alive today, every one of you." Baal Peor is a deity of the Moabites. It means Lord of the Opening, to put it civilly. It refers to the use of sexuality in all its deviant forms in the worship of pagan sun deities. Using the words the Lord in place of the righteous name of Yahweh is in fact a violation of at least one of the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 7. "You shall have no other gods before me." You shall have no other deities before me. But if you have the name of Yahweh in front of you and you put a name of a pagan deity on top of it, isn't that having a deity before Yahweh in front of him? Deuteronomy 5 and verse 11. "You shall not take the name of Yahweh Elohecha in vain, for Yahweh will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain." What does "in vain" mean? It is the Hebrew word shah, and means, are you ready for this? It means desolation. It means evil destruction, ruination, idolatry, uselessness, deception, and falsehood. That's what "in vain" means. So what do you think the phrase "abomination of desolation" could refer to? Could it refer to the abolition of the use of the name of Yahweh and justifying it by the authority of Jewish and Christian practice? Is there anywhere in Scripture that commands us to abolish the name of Yahweh? I don't think so. Malachi 1 and verse 6 says, "A son honors his father, and a servant his master." This is Malachi 1 verse 6. "If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says Yahweh of hosts, to you priests who despise my name. Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name?" Malachi 1 verse 11. "For from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense," a reference to prayer, shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering, again, a reference to prayer, for my name shall be great among the nations, says Yahweh of hosts, says Yahweh Sabaoth. Hosea chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. Hosea 2, verse 9 begins, therefore I will return and take away my grain in its time, and my new wine in its season, and I will take back my wool and my linen given to cover her nakedness. Now this is Yahshua speaking through the prophet Hosea after she has committed adultery in its worship in the ways of the nations surrounding it. Yahweh is saying he's going to take back everything that he's given. Hosea 2 and verse 10 now. Now I will uncover her lewdness in the sight of her lovers. Lovers referring to false religion. And no one shall deliver her from my hand. I will also cause all her mirth, all her happiness, to cease. Her feast days, you notice it says her feast days, her new moons, her Sabbaths, all of her appointed feasts. And he's saying her feast because they've taken up the ways of the nations. They've begun to worship on Sunday. In fact, go down to verse 13 of chapter 2 in Hosea, where Yahshua says, I will punish her for the days of the Baals. I will punish her for the days of the Lords, to which she burned incense. She decked herself with her earrings and jewelry and went after her lovers. False worship. But me, says Yahweh, she forgot. Therefore, behold, and this is a whole change of pace here. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, will bring her into the wilderness, and speak comfort to her. Go down to verse 16. And it shall be in that day, says Yahweh, that you will call me my husband, and no longer call me my master. For I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. Yahweh is going to make it happen. There's nothing that I or anyone else can say to convince you of what I'm speaking about today. There's nothing that can change you except Yahweh. But when he speaks comfort to you, when he brings you into the wilderness, when you become confused and wonder what you're doing in life, when he speaks comfort to you, I suggest you listen to him. You will know when he is speaking to you. There will be no doubt in your heart and your mind, because he will put it there. Still, I suggest you listen and obey, and not call upon the name of the Lord. Going down to verse 19, Yahweh says, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice, in loving kindness and mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. And you shall know Yahweh. When? When you are faithful to him, you will know him. Verse 23. Then I will sow her for myself in the earth, and I will have mercy on her who had not obtained mercy. Then I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. And they shall say, you are my Elohim. So we who worship Yahweh and not the Lord, I believe, are now betrothed to Yahweh through Yahshua, who died to take away our sins. And he is calling us, he's calling to us to remain faithful to the new covenant that he made possible. The covenant implanted into our hearts and minds to obey Yahweh's word. Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, who has ascended into heaven and descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has wrapped the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his name? And what is the name of his son? And it asks, surely you know. Revelation 15 and 4. Who shall not fear you, O Yahweh, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Now we read, have been manifested, as if it has already taken place. Well, I don't see the nations coming to Jerusalem these days and going and worshiping Yahweh. So I can only conclude that this is a prophecy of a future time when all nations shall go up and worship Yahweh. Psalm 22 and verse 22, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear Yahweh, praise him. Psalm 86, verse 9, all nations whom you have made shall come and worship before you, O Yahweh, and shall glorify your name. For you are great and do wondrous things. You alone are Elohim. Teach me your way, O Yahweh. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name, to reverence your name. I will praise you, O Yahweh, Elohim, with all my heart, and I will glorify your name forevermore. Can we turn back to John 17? I'm not sure that I would be doing justice to this message if we didn't take a look at that. John 17, beginning at verse 1. Yahshua spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true Elohim, and Yahshua, the Messiah, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. Verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. In other words, they have been obedient. Yahshua taught them the name of Yahshua, of Yahweh. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me,
and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Listen to the words of Yahshua. He says to the Father, I am glorified in them. And who's them? Sure, he's speaking of the disciples that he taught, but he's also speaking to us, those who are willing to obey the Father, those who are willing to call upon the name of the Father. He says, I am glorified in them. What a privilege we have. What a privilege. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep, how? Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be filled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word. I have taught them your law. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. And then he says, your word is truth. Oh, sanctification is through the word of Yahweh. Sanctification is through all of the words that Yahweh speaks. Sanctification is by obeying the law of Yahweh. Verse 18, and as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. If there is anything that we could describe as a Trinity, this is it. Nowhere in Yahshua's words do I hear the person of the Holy Spirit being addressed or even being mentioned. But he does pray to the Father, talks about the Father and him being one, and he talks about us being a part of that. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Yahshua was sent to us out of his Father's love for us. And I know within all of my heart that it grieves them that we are a people, this nation and this world, who give little heed to their words. Malachi 2, verse 2. And this is difficult to look at, this verse, Malachi 2, verse 2. Once you read it, you'll understand. Yahweh says through Malachi, if you will not hear, and if you will not take it to heart to give glory to my name, says Yahweh of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Yes, I have cursed them already because you do not take it to heart. Now, none of us are perfect. And I don't see that we're all doomed. Because Yahweh has provided us a narrow path by which we shall enter into the kingdom. If you would turn to Psalms number 119, Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. So may we meditate day and night upon the righteousness of our Heavenly Father, the Almighty Yahweh, and upon the mercy shown to us through His Son, Yahshua the Messiah, upon those who honor Him, who call upon the name of Yahweh, and who are of the faith of Yahshua, obedient servants of the Most High. I say, praise God.